I want to begin today by reading one verse of scripture to you, and it's found in Genesis chapter 28, verse number 10. Here's what it says. It says, meanwhile, Jacob left Beersheba. That was his home. That was the place he was born. Jacob left Beersheba, and he traveled toward Haran. I'm talking about being all in, all right? If you're taking notes, this is all in part three, okay? We've talked over the past couple weeks. Jacob dreamed his entire life, from the time he was a child, teenager, young adult, all through his life, he hoped, he dreamed, he planned, he schemed to get the birthright. Even though he was not the rightful owner of the birthright, he wanted the birthright because he realized the importance of carrying on his father's legacy. He realized the importance of carrying on his father's authority. He realized the importance of his father's inheritance. His brother was older. His brother was the rightful owner. He did not see the significance of that. And so he literally sold it for a bowl of stew, if you will. He sold it to Jacob. So finally, Jacob gets his birthright. He's got it. Not only does he have the birthright, but his father blesses him and sends him off to Haran, which is like 500 miles away from his home. I told you last week that'd be like a month's journey, two, three, four week journey from his home. And he would go there, didn't know anyone, supposedly was related to some of those people. He'd never been there. He had no connections with anyone, but God sent him to Haran, and he went on his way, and he went on his journey. You see, when we're all in, God many times requires us to new places and to new beginnings. There might be some of you that's here today, and God has called you to a new place and a new beginning, and you don't feel real comfortable about it. You're still warming up to it. You're still getting used to the idea, but God is with you, and God is leading you. Just like God was leading and guiding Jacob, God is leading you, and God is guiding you. You see, Jacob's experience was kind of like bungee jumping. I just wonder, do we have anyone here that's ever bungee jumped? A couple people have, okay? I never have, all right? You know, that would be a unique experience. I could maybe get some cool sermon illustrations from it. But Jacob's experience was kind of like bungee jumping. Because when you step off the platform, I guarantee you are all in. There is no changing your mind. There is no going back. And when Jacob got a hold of the birthright, there was no moving. There was no going back. Because if he went back, his brother was going to kill him. So it meant going forward. It meant catapulting ahead to uncharted places and uncharted territories. New beginnings are unsettling often because we're thinking in our mind. We've all done this. We've started a brand new job. And when we start the brand new job, we think, what if I fail? What if I don't know how to perform these tasks that I'm giving? What if I just totally blow it? I recall Debbie and I, when we were just a couple kids, we built a home. And we were only like 23 years old. It was not a fantastic castle or anything like that, but it was what we could afford. We're just a couple kids. We saved up our money and planned, because I come from a single parent home, and every place we were at, we just rented a house. And so my goal was to have my own home. So we're 23 years old. We build this home. And I remember going and seeing my uncle at Christmas time that year, and you know, my uncle said to me, that house is real nice, Bobby. I hope you don't lose it. Thank you. I appreciate that vote of confidence, okay? You see, when we have a brand new adventure, many times we're a bit nervous about it. And no doubt Jacob was nervous about his brand new adventure because God said, you've got to go. His father said, you've got to go. He said, you've got to go to Haran. You've got to get out of this place. And I want you to go to a new place. And I'm going to send you to a place where you're going to find a wife. And he sent him there. And even though he didn't want to go, He went reluctantly that he followed the will of God. You see, point number one is this. We don't know how, but we know God. You might not know how, but you know God. And I want to assure you the fact that if you're a born-again believer, that the Lord is with you. And if the Lord has called you to a new place and a new destination and a new chapter in your life, the Lord is going to be with you. We don't know how, but we know God. And we know that we can trust him. Jacob left his home in Beersheba. As I've already told you, it was a place he was born. He left a place that he loved to be in. He left it. He left the comfort and security of his mother and father. So many times, he might have thought, how am I going to make it without mom and dad? How am I going to make it without my best friend? How am I going to make it without the people that I grew up with? But God told him to go. And so he left and he went and his journey began. You see, this journey of life takes us to many new opportunities and new places. And often we don't know how, but we know God. And Jacob's life was on a brand new trajectory. But God was getting ready to show up. If you're in a place, if you're a born-again believer and you're in a place of uncertainty and you know God has put you there and you say, I don't know how, but I know God. I know, Lord, that you're with me. I guarantee this, God is getting ready to show up. And God was getting ready to show up in Jacob's life. And he is going to give you strength. God told the tribe of Asher, he said this, as your day, so shall your strength be. I think God is saying that to some people today. As your day, so will your strength be. So will your power be. Because I am with you. You see, when we're fully surrendered to God, God will bring his dreams and plans together in ways that we never imagined. He'll bring his dreams and plans together with small details and small measures that we've never thought was possible before. Trust in God. Believe in God. Like Jacob, God took him to a brand new place. And God takes us to a new city, to a new school, to a new neighborhood, to a new job, to a new career, to a new business. We don't know how, but we know God. We know that God has led us to that place. I was talking to someone not long ago in this church, and they said, well, God led me to quit my job and take another one. And what he was saying was, I don't know how, but I know God, because God told me what to do. And God impressed this on me. And I know that God is going to give me the strength that I need today. And so let's go after God. And in our times of uncertainty, in our times of insecurity, go after God and seek his will with your entire heart and with your entire soul. But so many times we're often prideful and we're a little bit stubborn because we want to do it our own way. And even though we've left Beersheba and we're on the road to Haran, we say, well, God, I've been faithful. We try to do it our own way, right? We try to do it by ourselves. We try to lean to our own understanding. And even though we might be on the road to Haran, we're not fully following the will of God. We're not fully following the plan of God because pride and stubbornness has come into our life. And we think to ourselves, I've got a lot of experience and I'm a pretty wise person and I can guide myself and I can lead myself. You can't. You need God. You need God to lead you all the way to Haran. You need God to lead you all the way on this brand new journey that you're on. And we need to stop, get rid of our pride, get rid of our stubbornness, and say, God, I don't know how, but I know you, and I've got to trust in you. I've got to believe in you. I've got to call upon you. I've got to pray harder than I've ever prayed before. If there's some junk, if there's some garbage in my life, if there's some stuff that I need to let go of, I need to let go of it, and I need to reach out and get a better hold on you, God, and be all in. Because, God, I need your strength today. But so many times this pride comes into our life, and we say, why do I even need to consult with God? I talked to you a little bit last week about planning this church. And when we were in the planning stages Now, I noticed today that Debbie is with us, my lovely wife. She's here this morning, and she's not in here very often, but she's here today. God bless you. Give Debbie a hand. You know, I was driving. Appreciate her. And if it wasn't for her, we wouldn't even probably be in this journey together, but God put us in this journey together. And so when we were in the planning stages of this church, I told several pastors, we knew that God had called us to plant a church, okay? And I told several pastors and several people, I said this, we will never, ever be in a temporary location. I would tell people that, you know? We went around and preached at about a dozen different churches. And we shared our vision with them. And every place I went, I told them, I said, we'll never be in a temporary location. We're gonna be in a permanent facility right off the bat, okay? And so I just had this pride. I was so prideful, you know? Because in my mind, I'm thinking, we can do this. We're a little older. We're a little more experienced. You know, we're not like a lot of these guys. They don't know what they're doing. We take my word for us. We didn't know what we were doing either. Okay. But I told a lot of people that. Then we started looking around. We started searching around for what we could afford to lease. And we found it was literally a broom closet. I remember Brandon and I went and we stood in a place that was the size of this stage, and that was what we could afford to rent, something the size of this stage. And I remember Brandon looked at me, he said, Dad, he said, this is not going to be big enough. So we considered what we could afford, and so then I said, well, maybe that's not going to work. So we think to ourselves, maybe we could throw up some kind of a little building, you know, because by golly, you know, we built a house. We could build a little church, you know. And so we started shopping around for land. And we found in the city of Columbia is a little bit different. It's sold by the square foot up here. And land is like $250,000 an acre, okay? And it's like, okay, well, punt that idea. And so I'm talking to God and I'm praying and say, God, what are we going to do? And here's what God told me. He said, Bob, you told everyone you weren't going to be in a temporary location, and you've never consulted with me about it. You've never talked to me about it. Even though you're on the road to Haran, you're not fully in my will. You're not all in. You're not totally surrendered unto me. And if you will get to the place where you'll say, God, we need you. We need you to lead us. We need you to guide us. We need you to bring your perfect will to pass in our life. Then I will show up, and then I will lead you to the place, okay? So I said, okay, God, yes, we will. We will do anything. So I start calling hotels. I started calling schools. We started calling community centers, conference centers. I remember Becca went to one of the conference centers here in Columbia, and she talked to them, and she talked to the lady. And the lady at the conference center told her, she said, you know what? We don't need another church in Columbia, Missouri. She got the yellow pages out. She said, we got plenty of churches in Columbia, Missouri. And she opened it up to churches, and she showed her all the churches. She said, just pick one. And don't worry about starting a church. Just go there, okay? You know, I'll tell you what. Sometimes when we're on the road to Haran, God will send a smart aleck your way. Not God. The devil will send a smart aleck. The devil will send a smart aleck your way to try to get you distracted and try to get you discouraged and try to get you to quit. And I called around and we finally found American Legion post number 202 off WW. Some of you guys know there. So you say, oh, I've been to a dance there before. I've been to a party there before. I've been to a wedding there before. Okay, so we went there, and I remember the first time I stood on that stage, I thought, God said, I've led you here. This is the place. And we started right there. It was no more than a dance hall. And we started right there. You see, when we get rid of our pride, and we say, God, I don't know how, but Lord, I know you, and I've got to trust in you. I've got to believe in you. I've got to, point number two, okay? First of all, I don't know how, but I know God. Secondly, we've got to surrender our will. We got to say, like Jesus in the garden, when he prayed, and his sweat became as great drops of blood, and he prayed, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. We got to get to that point in our life where we're all in. We say, Lord, I'm surrendering my will. I'm surrendering my attitude to you. Lord, I don't know how, but I know you. God, my knowledge is limited, but God, I know that I can trust in you. And we've got to surrender our will to the Lord. We've got to surrender to the Lord. You see, when you're on the road to Haran, and you're on the road with God's blessing, you're on the road with God's birthright, you're on the road with God's will, you got to keep moving forward. Even if that smart aleck comes along, you got to keep moving forward and obey the will of God. You know why? Because you know what God told you to do. You know what God has put in your spirit today. And so let's get rid of our pride. And let's get rid of our arrogance on our journey toward Haran. You see, this journey would set the stage for Jacob's entire life and his entire legacy. It would change his identity. It would change his nature when he left his father's home and he got on that road. It would change everything about him because he had to be totally dependent upon God, totally relying upon God. But here's what happened on the road to Haran. He met the Lord, and that's what will happen to you. When you're all in, you don't know how, but you know God. You've surrendered your will, and you just can't imagine how it's all going to come together. The Lord will show up. On the road to Haran, the Lord showed up. And I believe he's going to show up in your life. I believe the Lord is going to touch you. I believe the Lord, there's some of you today that's seeking wisdom. There's some of you today that's seeking direction in your life, and you've been trying to do it. You've been trying to go. You've been trying to figure it out. Stop trying to lean not to your own understanding, but go after God. And say, Lord, I don't know how, but I know you, and I'm surrendering my will. God, I'm surrendering my pride and my arrogance and my stubbornness. And God showed up on the road to Haran. Genesis chapter 28, verse number 11 says this. Genesis 28, 11. At sundown, Jacob arrived in a good place to set up camp. He stopped there for the night, and Jacob found a stone to rest his head against and lay down to sleep. And as he slept, he dreamed of a stairway that reached from earth up to heaven. And he saw the angels of God going up and down on the stairway. And at the top of the stairway stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your grandfather Abraham, the God of your father Isaac. The ground you are lying on belongs to you. I'm giving it to you and your descendants. Your descendants will be as numerous as the dust of the earth, and they will spread out in all directions, to the east and the west, to the north and the south. And all the families of the earth will be blessed through you and your descendants. And what's more, I will be with you, and I will protect you wherever you go. And one day, I will bring you back to this land, and I will not leave you until I've finished giving you everything I have promised you. So today we don't know how, but we know God. And we've surrendered our will, and on the road to Haran, the Lord finally shows up. You got to understand this today. You got to get this morning. You've got to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. When Brandon went to Bible college, he came home and said, Dad, he said, there's a lot of these guys, there's a lot of these young ladies that's here in Bible college, they're not even saved. That's the truth. Our Bible college is full of people that don't even know Jesus. You know what they know? They say, well, that pastor's got a cool job. He just works on Sunday. You know? It takes 8 men to collect his paycheck on Sunday morning when the ushers receive the offering. They say it's really a neat job today. I don't care about your title. I don't care about what birthright you're carrying around. I don't care what your mom and dad did. Your dad might have built 50 churches. I don't know. your grandma might have done this, your grandma might have started that church or whatever. It doesn't matter. You need your own personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And your personal relationship with Jesus Christ is more important than your title. It's more important than your accomplishments. It's more important than all of the degrees that you hold today. We need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Early in his journey, God gave Jacob a dream. And in the dream, Jacob saw a ladder reaching from earth to heaven. And he saw the angels descending and ascending on the ladder. That angel represented Jesus Christ, who would be the mediator between the earth and heaven, heaven and earth. And he saw the angels. The angels are agents of God, and they're sent out into the world to do the will of God in the world. And Jacob saw that sight. And God spoke to Jacob in that vision. And God told him that he had a plan for his life and that his life would come together in his plan for the ages. You see, on the journey, God promises. He said, I'll lead you. I will guide you. I will show you exactly where to go. I will protect you. I will be with you. And the Lord is saying that to you today. You don't know how, but you know God. You surrendered your will to the Lord, but now you need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I want you to get this. I want you to understand that we need Jesus today. Today, the Lord deals with every single person. The Lord meets every single person. The Bible tells us this, that the grace of God that leads to salvation has appeared to all men and women today. Jesus met James and John when they're out fishing. Okay? He met Matthew when he was collecting taxes. He met Saul when he was on the road to Damascus. The Lord meets us exactly where we are, and we need the Lord. We need Jesus today. The Lord met Jacob on the road to Haran. He came from a very religious family. His grandfather was Abraham. His father was Isaac. But the Lord came down and showed Jacob that he needed his own relationship with him. And I pray that you'll get to that point that we realize we need our own relationship with the Lord. I was talking to my brother-in-law, okay? And for many years, my brother-in-law did not know the Lord. In fact, maybe my brother-in-law is going to watch this message. I don't know. He was a drunk, almost died of cirrhosis of the liver, okay? But let me tell you what, on the road to Haran, he met Jesus. And he was having surgery a couple weeks ago, and him and I were sitting in the hospital. He was laying in the bed, and I was sitting in the chair next to him. And he said, you know what, Bob? He said, last Sunday, and he's fully given his heart and life to Jesus Christ. He talks about his former life and how the Lord's changed everything in his life. He said, our pastor got up last Sunday and preached a sermon. And he said, do you know Jesus Christ personally? And he said, I begin to think about that. Do I know Jesus Christ personally? Do I know Jesus Christ personally? And there's some of you that's in this building today, and you've been going to church for 10 years, 5 years, 20 years. And there's a problem. Because, and here's what comment he made to me. He says, I know who Jesus is, but he said, I've got to question myself. Do I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Do I know him intimately? And every one of us need that personal relationship with the Lord, not just to know about him, not just to know that he was born of a virgin and he lived a perfect, sinless life, and he gave his life on the cross, and he died, you know, and then rose from the grave on the third day, and he sits at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you. Not just to know that, but to truly know Jesus. Because when we get to the point where we truly walk with Jesus and we talk with Jesus, he gives us strength for the journey to Haran. He gives us strength for the journey of life. He helps us in making all the decisions that we need to make. You know, your Christian heritage is a wonderful thing. It's great to be proud of what church you attend. And thank God for the Christian experience of your mom and dad. I happen to come from a home where my mom was the piano player. When I was born, my mom was the piano player, and my dad was the pastor, okay? And my mom would sit me or lay me in a crib right next to her bed, not next to her piano. I had a crib next to her bed, but it wasn't at church, okay? But a crib right next to her piano, and that way she's playing the piano, and if I would start crying and throwing a fit, she'd reach over, she's still playing the piano, and settle me down. And I went to church for the first time when I was just a couple days old, so I've been the same my whole life, okay? But let me tell you this, I needed a personal experience with Jesus Christ, a personal walk with the Lord. I need to know him personally. It wasn't just about my Christian heritage. It wasn't just about my grandma, Roark, who took her family to church. Her husband was my granddad. He was an unbeliever. And my grandma would go to the revival down in the back alley. There was a church in a back alley. And she'd go to the revival down there. And my grandpa would say, "Now, I'll tell you what, Sadie, you better be home by 9 o'clock, because if you're not, the door will be locked." And she'd say, "Orville, if that door's locked, I'll kick it in." Hey, listen, our godly heritage is wonderful. Our Christian pedigree is amazing. But there comes a time when none of those things matter. It's about a personal relationship with Jesus. It's about knowing him today. And it's one thing to know about Jesus. The devil knows about Jesus. Judas knew about Jesus. The atheist knows about Jesus. Many people have heard about Jesus. Many church members know about Jesus. But there's a difference in that personal relationship and that personal walk with the Lord. I met a man. I'm going to close. I tell you what, I'm going to shut down with this. I'm closing, okay? Because I've already been speaking for close to 30 minutes. I worked with a fellow. And he went to church every single Sunday for 25 years. He married a Christian lady. And I knew that his wife, I talked to her several times, I knew that she loved the Lord with all of her heart. And so one day, him and I were driving. I would meet him at his house, and then we would drive up to northern Missouri, and we would work at Macon, Missouri. And one morning, we're driving along. I said, "Bob," I said, "I know you've been going to church for many years." He said, "Yep, I don't miss a service. I'm there every single time the doors are open." I said, "Bob, tell me about the time you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior." He said, "Bob, I got to tell you something." His name was Bob, and so was mine. But anyway, he said, "I got to tell you something, Bob." He said, "I never did accept Jesus as my Savior." I said, "How in the world can you go to church for 25 years and never accept Jesus as your Savior?" He said, "I never thought I had to. I never thought I needed to." Our churches are full of people that have this idea in their mind, "I never thought I had to. I never thought I needed to." We need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ today. He gives us the strength that we need. The band can come today. You know, people dream of doing great things. People dream of great accomplishments. People dream of making $1 million or $10 million or $1 billion or building some kind of a gigantic entity or corporation. They dream of great things. All those things mean nothing. You can gain the whole world, lose your soul. You have nothing. You see, the billionaire and the homeless person, when they draw their last breath, we all exit this life the same way. We don't take anything with us. But what matters is that walk in relationship with Jesus Christ. that personal relationship with the Lord makes all the difference in the world today. Jesus said this. He told Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to him at night because he was a religious leader. He didn't want to get caught talking to Jesus. He wanted to talk about Jesus' kingdom. And Jesus made this statement. He said, you must be born again. He told the disciples, he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He said, no one comes to the Father except through me. You see, there's only one way. It's Jesus. You say, Pastor Bob, that's very politically incorrect. Okay? You don't want me to tell you a lie, do you? Okay? I go to my doctor. I had a heart attack several years ago. When I go to my doctor, he tells me the truth. Bob, you're fat. Bob, you're not getting enough sleep at night. My doctor tells me what I need to hear. He doesn't, and I dread going to that guy. I go on a diet before I go see my doctor because I know I'm going to have to go there and I'm going to have to get on that scale. And he's going to look at my weight and he said, you know, you put on 5 pounds. I don't want to hear that. Listen, I want to be the pastor that's going to tell you the truth because one of these days, every one of us are going to slip from this life. It's appointed unto men and women wants to die. And then comes the judgment. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. You must be born again. You must know Jesus. And I can't force you. I can't make you. You say, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. It's up to you. It's up to you. I can just tell you what the scripture says. This has nothing to do with pop culture. This has nothing to do with social trends and norms. This has nothing to do with politics. This is the Word of God. I will preach the Word of God. I will not make excuses for God's Word. It is God's Word. And God cares for you. And God loves you today. He really does. Stand with us this morning. Let's stand together. Stand today. Stand with us this morning. If you're in this place, let's pray this prayer today. This is really a salvation message this morning. But I want us to pray this prayer corporately this morning. And if you'll believe it in your heart, if you believe it in your heart, if you call upon the name of the Lord and believe it in your heart, you will be saved today. If there's an emptiness in your life, if you look at me today and say, Pastor Bob, you know this message you're talking about, this personal relationship, I don't know if I've got a personal relationship with the Lord. I don't know if I've ever accepted Jesus as my Savior. I want you to pray this prayer this morning in faith, believing, and with an open and whole heart today. Let's pray this morning. Let's all pray corporately together if you would with us, because your neighbor might pray and they might be the one that accepts Christ. You don't know, or maybe you're the one today, but let's pray. Heavenly Father, I admit that I am a sinner. I come to you just as I am. I believe that you gave your life on the cross for me. I believe that you rose from the grave on the third day. I confess all of my sins. I believe that your blood washes my sin away. I confess that you are my Lord and Savior. I commit my life to you, Jesus. I declare you're the Lord of my life. Help me to grow my experience with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you today. Hey, let's spend some time talking to the Lord.